The Chris and Amy Show is sponsored by Elf Express Delivery. Faster than reindeer, guaranteed.
We've got legal questions, and when we have legal questions, we bring in our legal expert, and that is Brad Young, KMOX legal analyst and attorney at Harris Dowell Fisher
and Young. No, he's a partner. Young,
a partner at Harris Dowell Fisher and Young. And
he's a big deal.
He is a big deal. And Brad, as we welcome you in, I got to ask, how's Fisher doing?
Fisher's doing fine. He's retiring. So we're probably going to be renaming the firm in the first of the year, which means my name will be second. So according to your analysis, I will no longer be the anchor.
I know. Now you're like almost the least important person. What?
I know.
You got to be at least the lead or the anchor.
How come you get to be? Why are you second name? Because there's still Dowell.
Yeah, what happened to Dowell?
Dowell's retired. Harris
is older
than me.
This place is falling apart.
So it's going to be Harris and Young?
Harris, Young, and Kaiser.
Oh. Are you going to let us know when this happens?
I will.
Okay.
You're going to get an official announcement, Amy, and I will give an honorary coffee mug to the show for both of you when we get new coffee mugs.
That is my favorite coffee mug.
But also, I got to set you straight on something. Crypto, the dog, is named, it's official. Listen, I know all things comic book stuff as well. Crypto is named after the planet Krypton. And yes, Chris, Superman's father is Kal-El.
Kal-El. And his Superman's name is, what is it? It's Kal something.
Clark Kent.
No.
No.
His alien name.
Jor-El.
Jor-El, that's it.
Jor-El. Yeah. So anyway, that sets the record straight there.
Yeah.
Jor-El and Kal-El.
Now let's get to these cookie people. All right, I'll ask the question. So there is this bakery, a local bakery called MacArthur's, and they have been making smiley face cookies for several decades, and they sell them online, and they employ disabled adults as part of their operation. Meanwhile, there is a company out of Pennsylvania that also makes smiley face cookies, and their website is smileycookie.com, and they sell smiley cookies to stores around the country. They sell to a bunch of schnooks as well. They are threatening legal action against this MacArthur's bakery. I read this story and I was like, come on, man. Like, I know that there are legal things that I don't quite understand. I fully understand. I fully get that part. But it just seems like it's over the top to claim ownership of smiley face cookies when they are in every bakery in the country.
Well, here's one of those things that only attorneys could dream up, all right? But there's a very simple answer to all of this. And the answer is this. The image of a smiley face is in the public domain because no one has ever trademarked it. It's ubiquitous. Mm. It's everywhere. The image of the smiley face. But the words, quote, smiley face, unquote, has been trademarked by the smiley company. And they license it out. All they do is license out the phrase smiley face, unquote. So to put this to the facts here, if MacArthur's wants to sell smiley face cookies, there is no problem with that. No one owns the image of a smiley face. But if they want to call them smiley face cookies, then they have to get licensing rights from the smiley company to do that.
Brad, how much would they have to change their name from smiley face cookies for it to be on the up and up? Could they call it Smiley Face Cookies STL, or is that too close?
No, that would be way too close, because anything that might give confusion to the marketplace will give rise to a trademark violation or a trade name violation lawsuit. So really, they couldn't call, I don't think you could use the term smiley in the name at all. You might say Smile, S-M-I-L-E, without the Y, and say Smile Cookie Company. You might get away with that, but you couldn't use Smiley Cookie STL without paying a licensing fee.
Okay. I know they say, you know, business isn't about being nice and so forth, but this is a company that's existed since the 70s, and it gives people with disabilities a job and an ability to make these cookies and sell them. Is a company like the Smiley Face Cookie Company up in the East Coast, is a company ever nice and said, listen, these people aren't really, it's not a national competition. They're not hurting our sales. We're going to let them keep Smiley Face. Do companies ever do that or no?
They cannot do that. There's an actual legitimate legal reason why they can't do that, Amy. And here's what it is. If you say, it's okay, we're not going to enforce it here. By doing that, then you are then allowing that name to go into the public domain. For example, Kleenex. Kleenex can be used now in the open public domain because Kleenex brand didn't take enough effort early on to protect it. The word trampoline was a name brand, but because the company didn't enforce the name trampoline, then now trampoline is generic for a bouncy device where kids break their necks and then sue manufacturers. So, but the term itself used to be public or wasn't in the public domain. So here would be the way around this issue. If the Smiley company wanted to give MacArthur's a break and say, we know you're doing this for disabled people so they can have jobs and have income. What you do is that you license the name for $1 a year. And so at that point, you're still enforcing the trademark trade name while at the same time giving a break to disabled people. That's the way you get around the legal conundrum. And listen, if the Smiley company wants to call me, you know, my hourly rate is only $450 bucks an hour. I'll be happy to help them out.
They should call you.
They should.
What is the disclaimer that your judgments on law firms should not be based on advertising alone?
Yeah.
Right.
All right, but this isn't advertising. This is intense interrogation is what this is.
Oh, okay.
It's what they call research.
Research, that's fair. Okay.
Hey, Brad, moving over to Clayton, where the St. Louis County Council resides.
Goodness.
So the big news...
Where there are no smiley faces, by the way. There are no smiley faces right now in St. Louis County.
Sam Page, not a big smiley guy. Okay, so the big news coming out of that 2.5 hour county council meeting, most of which I watched because that's the kind of life I live. Melissa Price Smith is Governor Parson's selection to replace County Prosecutor Wesley Bell. Now she also did apply or at least want to be, you know, perhaps Page's selection. Page did not select her. He picked Court Van Ostrand. But in this hearing between the two, she mentioned that someone representing Sam Page called her, asked her to find dirt on Councilman-elect Mike Archer, who at the time was running for that seat to replace Ernie Trakas. He has since won. She said, he called me, said to find dirt on Mike Archer. When I said no, they said, try harder. This seems to me both, well, definitely unethical, but maybe illegal. Where are we legally with this request?
Well, right now, since, at least as far as I know, Melissa Price Smith testified that she didn't know who exactly called her. So since it was by phone, this is really unsubstantiated. Now, let me demonstrate with this idea. If it would be possible to obtain verification that that's what was done, this would be explosive. This is the kind of thing where people go to jail over this. However, since it's by phone, we don't know who said it. We don't know the context. There could be a dispute about what was said. There's no transcript of the call. Because of all those squishy parts of this story, I don't really see that there would be enough to even launch an investigation, much less prosecute anyone for this. But it certainly looks very bad.
Yeah, there's still probably like an ethical problem with this, right? Even if there's not a legal issue, it's definitely ethically questionable at minimum.
Well, here's the thing, though. If you could actually trace down the person who made this call to Melissa Price Smith, that person's going to say, that's not what I said at all. Mm-hmm. They're going to say the other side. So if true, yes, Chris, this would be a very strong ethical breach. But the other side would dispute it, and therein lies the problem. There's no proof to demonstrate who is right and who is wrong.
Yeah, when she mentioned she didn't know who called, as you said, that would be hard to verify. If they could have verified it, Does it matter that, let's say you're going to find dirt on someone, if he had hired a private investigator rather than using someone whose salary is paid by taxpayer dollars? Does that make a difference?
Yeah, that would make an enormous difference, because you could hire a private investigator to dig up dirt on anybody. It's not illegal. But what's illegal is using an official who's a prosecutor who's paid by taxpayer dollars to dig up dirt on a political adversary. That is exactly where the problem is. It's not the digging up the dirt. It's using a public official to dig up the dirt, number one, and then later conditioning a potential appointment on their refusal to do something unethical. Those are the two issues here. But at the end of the day, if you look at the overriding treetop, 10,000-foot view, drone view, so to speak, of this, the question becomes, who is empowered to appoint the prosecuting attorney? This is one of the easiest legal issues to decide. The governor has the power under the Constitution, and I see this Judge Brian May probably today, if not today, then certainly tomorrow, is going to rule in favor of Governor Parson on this issue.
So an appeals court has ruled that Fani Willis, the district attorney in Georgia, can no longer prosecute the case against President-elect Trump in the election subversion case. So what does the ruling mean as we say goodbye here? And also, what is next after this?
Well, again, easy legal issue. Anytime there's a conflict of interest, the only way to resolve the conflict is everyone has to go on both sides of the transaction legally. And that's not what the judge did in that case, but that's what the Court of Appeals said. That's the right call. And so the case is not dismissed. The state has the opportunity to hire a new prosecuting attorney to prosecute Trump. Then that new prosecutor will have the power to either continue with the prosecution or drop all charges. That's exactly where this is going.
Brad Young, as always, we appreciate it. The legal expertise is great. And we're really looking forward to you being number two.
We are.
Thank you. Well, many people said I've been number two for a long time, but I mean, that's in a different. Well,
you are.
I know what you mean.
Number two in the law firm and number one in our hearts, Brad Young.
Well, thank you, AV.
Thank you.
Thanks, Brad Young.
I love Brad Young.
The partner at the soon to be Harrison Young Law Firm.
No, don't forget about.
No, Dowell's out.
Kaiser.
Oh, Kaiser's in. That's right.
Harris, Young, and Kaiser.
That'll be a good one.
I'm going to have a whole mug collection of Brad Young's law firm iterations. That'd be creepy eventually.
I've got an original one.
I do too.
Yeah.
Is it navy bluish?
It's navy blue.
It's very nice.
It is very nice.
It's a high quality mug.
KMOX legal analyst Brad Young with us. Bernie Miklas is coming up at the bottom of the hour. We'll talk about that Nolan Arenado thing, where he has nixed the trade.
Yeah.
So the Cardinals tried to trade him to Houston, and he said, nope, I'm good. That throws a wrench into things.
We also have a question for you, which we'll be posing next.
Chris and Amy on KMOX.
Hey, guys, it's Dave, Rach, and Wheels from The Glover Show, wishing you a happy holidays and a Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, everybody.
Let's go!
Happy holidays from KMOX.
A monkey has a tail. If it doesn't have a tail, it's not a monkey, it's an ape.
Is that true? That's so much easier than how I thought it would be.
Well,
tell them the difference between the two.
So, I don't know, it may have been the same person, but we also got a text message to 314-436-7900 that says, monkeys have tails, apes do not. Chimpanzees are apes, not monkeys. So it might be the same person.
This was a monkey because it had a tail. What's a baboon?
I think they're called primates.
Can you leave another voice message?
Yeah, could you?
What's a baboon? Hey, sir.
Could you get back to us, please?
Could you get back to us? I need to know what a baboon is.
Also, another message says that Superman. So Brad Young was wrong. Mm-hmm. He had it backwards.
What?
Superman's real name is Kal-El. His father is Jor-El, which makes sense because I in my head I hear son of Jor-El, which is what they would call Superman. He was the son of Jor-El. By the way, that came up because
son of your what?
The Superman trailer is out.
Yeah.
Dude.
He's excited.
I'm very excited. It looks good.
Listen,
James Gunn, St. Louisan, just got a St. Louisan got to direct the next Superman movie.
Well, but he had done the Marvel movies.
I know, but Superman is like, look, Guardians of the Galaxy, great, whatever. But Superman.
Yeah.
And
the big one.
We talked to his brother, Sean, who was in the new Superman movie.
We did.
Had Sean Gunn on a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, very, very cool. Okay. We would love for you to text us. Because we're talking to Bernie Miklas next, which is exciting. But if
right.
you want to send us a text real quick, 314-436-7900. How do you feel about shopping?
Pretty good.
Because I think we're unusual here.
Okay.
I love shopping. It's kind of like the Marines. Like I have like Jesus and my family first. But then when it comes to activities, it's like running and shopping are right up there. I love shopping. I could shop for hours. It's so much fun. And that the high of walking out of a store and hearing the swish and the crunch of the bags and having a mix of paper bags and plastic bags and handled bags. And you always want to put the fun, like the cool stores on the outside. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm,
have you ever hidden, like you bought something funny at Hot Topic and maybe you hide it in your Nordstrom bag? You know what I mean? You walk around because you've got an image now because people are judging you by all the bags you have. It's so much fun. It's an experiment, a social experiment. It's an experience. Mason jar, I hate shopping so much. You can physically see the blood drain from his face, from his head. The color leaves his face. He has like a physical reaction to shopping. He hates it so much, it knocks him out. Literally, he looks worn out.
You know what it is? He probably doesn't like to shop for the things you're looking for, because I also think that being with somebody when they are on a mission to find stuff and watching them look for things is not fun.
Yeah, but he doesn't.
It's not
like to
fun
shop
to
by
be
himself.
With somebody who's shopping and you're just kind of tagging along.
So
that's not fun.
He said he has to do some Christmas shopping today. He's buying gifts. I'm not even.
So
there.
He hates that too.
Ugh, hates it. My dad doesn't like to shop, but he said he'll buy. He'll go in and buy. He loves a good deal on some pants. I can tell you that.
Are we doing a Twitter poll on this? Are we asking the people if
yeah.
they love to shop or not?
Well, so, and we have an update on our previous
We do.
Twitter
so
poll.
We will on Twitter here momentarily have a poll about whether or not you like to shop. At Chris Amy KMOX, follow us on Twitter. We asked you a question yesterday, and there are 25 minutes left to vote. So you got a little bit of time here. Are you a gift wrap person or a gift bag person? So do we give the results or wait for the voting? Because it's pretty tight.
Well, don't give the results. Just say it's really,
it's
really
very
close.
Tight.
It's
very close. So
we need you to chime in.
Yeah. Gift wrap or gift bag. Leave us or go to at Chris Amy KMOX and leave us a vote there, would you?
Yeah. We would really appreciate
and follow
it.
Us, too.
Yeah.
Because every time we get a follower,
yeah,
we get a high five and $100 from our boss. Directly out of his pocket.
Yeah. $100.
Yep.
For every follower. Actually, that's not true. Basically, if we don't get followers, we get in trouble.
No, that's what I meant to say.
Yeah.
We owe him $100.
Yeah.
Do we want to take this call? We've got a guy who's been waiting online for a long time or on the phone because he's been.
We're short on time.
We're short on time.
We're wasting it.
All right. So, Paul, tell us about the fight you got in.
I was in several fights when I was younger, and it was all a bullying situation when I was defending myself. But there's nothing, even though I was victorious, there's nothing nostalgic or positive about it, because you always have to worry about being repercussed against, which I was. But this is how different it was 40 or 50 years ago. My junior high principal it told me to fight these two long-haired druggies who were bullying me. And he told me, I think he knew I was a good kid, and I think he knew I could take care of him. And I was forced on the lawn of my high school, which was attached to my junior high, to when he came up to me and said, he called me by name and said, we're not supposed to bother you anymore. So I went after both of them.
Whoa.
And I buried the one long-haired into the ground. The other one ran for high water. And everyone was amazed. All the high schoolers who were all, you know, 3 to 4 years older than me, they all were wondering what got into me, because they knew I was, this is a small town. They knew I was a good kid. And I shouldn't say his name, but he came he was a big 6'4" guy, and he drug the long hair out from under me by the scruff of the neck and took him off. And everyone didn't know why Volker started a fight, and Volker kicked these two guys' tails, and why the guy that was being beaten up was being drug off. But they didn't know the situation. So, and I was very heralded, but the reason why I say you want a repercussions is because a couple years later, and I don't know if it was either one of these two or not, but my house got shot at. And whoa, whoa. It was a bullet hole in the siding. I was with my big 1977 headphones on, or 78 headphones on, and I heard a big old pop on the house. I thought it was my friend Dave or Snide who were trying to get me to come out in the middle of the night. And I looked out and nothing was there, but the next day we saw bullet holes in the...
Damn, man. Well,
I have no idea if it was them or not.
We're glad you're okay, but you did the right thing by defending yourself. You had no choice.
Yes, you defended yourself. That was an emotional roller coaster.
You
thank
popped
you.
Those two long-haired dopes.
Yeah, taught them a lesson.
I hope they're having bad lives right now.
I do not like bullies.
Especially the guy who ran away.
Ugh.
The guy got his butt kicked. That's awesome. Good for him. We appreciate the phone call, though, Paul. Thank you for tuning in. But we need to get to Bernie Miklas because he's got to get to the bottom of this Nolan Arenado situation next on KMOX.
If it's happening in sports, Bernie Miklas talks about it Monday and Friday on the Dave Glover Show on KMOX.
Ground ball fair, fielded behind the back by Arenado. His throw, got him! Murphy is thrown out with Arenado fading into foul territory, throwing online to Paul Goldschmidt.
Baseball. Gonna have to wait several months for that, but when it happens, John Rooney, Ricky Horton, Mike Claiborne will be on the call here on KMOX for Cardinals baseball. You can listen to it on the Odyssey app, you know, or you can also listen to this show live. And it's time to go to the Quiver River Electric guest line. And we bring in KMOX sports contributor Bernie Miklas, who is with us. And the Bernie Miklas Report is brought to you by Saliga Heating and Cooling, an American Standard heating and air conditioning dealer. Bernie, first of all, what's up? Hey, buddy.
Hey, good to be with you as we count it down to Christmas. It is a most wonderful time of the year. Hey, I have a question for you.
Oh, I love questions.
Uh-oh.
Question for you all. You mentioned, you know, Cardinals baseball, of course, the home is KMOX. So my question is, will John Rooney and Rick Horton and Mike Claiborne be describing play-by-play of Nolan Arenado making great grabs at third base for the Cardinals in 2025?
So that's the question we're going to ask you, because he, according to multiple... you won't believe this, Bernie. But according to multiple reports, he had nixed a trade to the Houston Astros. There could potentially be some interest from the Dodgers, maybe, which is one of the teams that is on his acceptable list in terms of trade. So what do you make of him nixing that deal, and now what comes next for the Cardinals?
I'm a little confused by a lot of this because, you know, his agent said, well, this isn't about geography. This isn't about Nolan Arenado wanting to live in a certain part of the country. We know that he's Southern California, but it's not all about that. It's about winning. He wants to get to a place where he can win a World Series and win. So then John Denton published the list of six teams that would be acceptable, and the Angels were on the list. They've made the playoffs one time in the last 15 years. The Yankees were not on the list. The Astros were not on the list. He had this deal with the Houston would have been done by now, but he said no. But Katie Wu reports at The Athletic that he said no for now, and that he's just waiting to see maybe what happens with Alex Bregman, who's Houston's third baseman, who's going to, in all likelihood, leave to sign elsewhere, and then that would change the third base market, and maybe he'll have more choices. So it goes on and on and on. I know John Mozeliak really hoped to have this thing, you know, done by Christmas, certainly by the end of the 2025 calendar year, or 2024 calendar year, but it looks like it's going to drag on to 2025. So, yeah, I'm confused. And then Derek Gould, who's an excellent reporter at the Post-Dispatch, he had a line in his news story today that, you know, he said, you know, multiple sources have told him that there is no list of teams that he would agree to be traded to. So what is it? Does he want to play for a winner? Or is it just about being in Southern California? Is he opposed to going to Houston, or is he maybe thinking, okay, maybe I'll go to Houston? He's kind of a persnickety fella, and I think we're seeing some of that again right now.
So the phrase for now that, you know, he doesn't want to go to the Houston Astros now, doesn't that just mean he's waiting to see if something better comes along?
Yeah. No, I don't think there's any doubt. And, you know, he's longing to play for the Dodgers. So far the Dodgers are like, oh, you know, dude, of course we respect you, but we don't have any room for you. We have a third baseman and we like him a lot. He's won World Series for us, meaning Max Muncy. And the Dodgers are planning to spend some money in other areas. So it doesn't seem like to be a fit. I think San Diego would be a great place for him. He'd be with Mike Schilt. The Padres are really good. But he would have to move to first base because they have Manny Machado at third base, and they're not going to move Machado. He can't play anywhere else anyway. He could play first base, but then he loses his defensive value by coming, you know, by giving up third base to play first. And the Padres are very, very snug in terms of their payroll. They're actually, for the second year in a row, will be reducing payroll. So they don't really have a fit for him. Now, the Cardinals, what I think is really interesting about this and some of the reporting that was done yesterday, the Cardinals are willing to pay quite a bit of money to defray the cost of his contract for his new team, probably $15 million. That's Katie Wu's number, and I know Derek Gould's in that range as well. I mean, $15 million would actually bring the Arenado contract obligations down by quite a bit, and I think it would be a reasonable cost. So once Bregman decides what he wants to do in free agency, I would think that Plan B would kick in for some of these other teams that have been, kind of looking, kicking the tires on Arenado, but they won't know until they find out what Alex Bregman wants to do. And then there's a new market, in theory, for Nolan Arenado.
Do you think most people get it, Bernie, that because you might get some fans who just want the team to do well and they want to make whatever moves, or they want them to be able to make whatever moves they want, and who will get upset with a player who exercises his no trade clause. But do you think that most fans get it, that Nolan Arenado earned that no trade clause? It's in his contract. It is his right. If he doesn't want to go to another team, then he doesn't have to go to another team.
Yeah, I'm on his side in this one because, listen, the teams don't give out no trade contracts unless they want to. But if they want to get a player, they agree to that. If it's something that he wants and they say, yes, fine, no problem, we'll do that. Well, that's something that you honor, and the player shouldn't be shamed because he's exercising the authority he has over his own contract, one that the team agreed to. So I think the only thing that would, and I can only speak for myself, so I think fans should not hold that against him. But here's something that I put out there. If it looks like Arenado is sending, you know, some sort of mixed messages to John Mozeliak about where he'd be willing to play, and then he kind of changes his mind and he's kind of moving all over the place, you're not sure what he really wants, then I think some irritation and some annoyance, I think that's reasonable. It really depends on how Arenado handles this the rest of the way. Everyone should defend his right to block a trade, but if he's going to be, let's say, really inconsistent and erratic about it, then, yeah, I don't blame anyone for being aggravated if it comes to that.
Yeah, and on that, we totally agree. If it's a thing where he's sort of playing them and saying, yeah, I'll be into it. Oh, wait, no, maybe not. If he's doing that, that's a different story. But the fact he has a no-trade clause, he has every right to exercise that. It's tough to get mad about it. I want to ask you about the rest of the division real quick. In particular, a couple of moves that were made recently. I didn't get the opportunity to ask you about Kyle Tucker going to the Cubs. They traded away Cody Bellinger. We know the deals the Brewers have made. They trade away Devin Williams. They get Nestor Cortez in return. So as far as you can see it, how's the division look now with the Cardinals in it?
Well, we'll start with the Cubs since you went first with them. You know, Kyle Tucker is a great, great player. Since the start of the 2021 season, the top three outfielders in the majors in wins above replacement are number one, Aaron Judge, number two, Juan Soto, number three, Kyle Tucker. He's one of the great all-around players in the game, but he's also going to make a fortune if he opts to go into free agency next season after 2025. But by getting him, the Cubs have really got a phenomenal star now in their lineup, and they haven't had that for a while. And they didn't get much when they traded Bellinger to the Yankees, and I saw some Cardinals fans kind of in front of it, but I interject and say that that was pretty much a straight-up salary dump because they wanted to get that $28 million or whatever it was off the books because they plan now spending some money on starting pitching and bullpen. So the Cubs are going to make they're going to make more moves. It's not just about getting Kyle Tucker. It's about flipping Bellinger to free up payroll space for some other moves to come. So I think the Cubs, with a second year of Craig Counsell, will be much more acclimated, hit the ground running. I think the Cubs just seem to be ornery in that they're really going to go for it this year. So that makes it tough on the Cardinals because the Cubs have been the sleeping giant in this division. They can do whatever they want to do. But ownership hasn't signed off on an aggressive approach.
Also, just like a, Bernie, yeah, just a little sidebar, an additional note on the Cubs that it happened last week. They also signed Carson Kelly, former Cardinals catcher.
Yeah, and he's just what they need in a 1A or number two catcher, highly respected within the game. So the Cubs are not done. They're going to be doing some more things. As far as the Brewers, listen, they're very, very, very nervous about their starting rotation. And I think a lot of people will say, well, they didn't get much for Devin Williams. Listen, they got what they needed for 2025. It's all about 2025. They're not going to trade Devin Williams for prospects because they want to try to win this division again. The Brewers have been the best team in this division overall since 2017, despite getting outspent by the Cubs and the Cardinals by a lot of money. But they needed a starting pitcher, someone that would settle that rotation down. And they already had another closer lined up in McGill, who was excellent last year during the time that Williams was out with an injury. So my point being, you know, some people say, well, see, this just shows the Cardinals wouldn't get anything for Ryan Helsley, which frankly is a ridiculous opinion because the Cardinals and the Brewers are in entirely different situations. The Brewers want to win now, and they needed to plug in a rotation spot. So they traded a walk-year closer who's going to be leaving after a year for a walk-year starting pitcher, Cortez, who also will be entering the final year. It's all about winning in 2025. The Cardinals, if they traded Helsley or Fetty or whomever, it would be about getting younger and getting more prospects into their pool of talent. So the fact that they got Cortez for Williams has nothing to do whatsoever about what the Cardinals would get should they decide to trade Ryan Helsley.
Bernie, as always, great to talk to you. We will do it again Tuesday. Bernie Miklas is with us every Tuesday and Thursday on the Chris and Amy Show.
I'm Frank Ladd. This is KMOX, the voice of St. Louis.
Just hear those sleigh bells jingling, ring, ting, tingling too. Chris and Amy Show on KMOX. We got some winter warm-up tickets to give away before the show's over. The Cardinals Care winter warm-up happening at Busch Stadium and Ballpark Village. Some passes to give away for that. It starts January 18th, goes for 3 days. And we'll give away tickets tomorrow as well, so you have your opportunity now. And tomorrow we'll let you know when it is time to call in and win, but it is not time for that just yet. We also have our Christmas song game.
Yes.
Which Matt Pajeski has put together a game for us. And I guess we have to name the singer.
Name the version. I think name he's the playing multiple of the song. Versions of the same song, and we have to name the versions.
Well, I did really well last time in our last Christmas game last week.
I'm trying to remember.
Absolutely.
Wait.
Just throat punched all of you.
That's right. You lost and it was embarrassing.
Oh, damn. I did, didn't I?
I'm sorry.
Past two games you've lost.
Well, crap.
Oh, that's...
Past two? I lost the first one?
Yeah, finished the Christmas lyrics. You lost that one too.
Oh,
you've pretty
man.
Much lost every game that you've played. Kind of like the Bears. You know what I mean?
Okay, well, that's only been true for about 2 months, but whatever.
2 months? They've been losers for years.
Well, okay, that's also true, but they were 4-2.
Oh my gosh, you're never going to believe this.
What?
We talked about our Twitter poll. We said it was close. He said it was real close, but we weren't going to give you the actual results because we said you had a few minutes left. Well, the Twitter poll is done.
Okay.
It's over. You can't take it anymore. And the question was,
I can't take it anymore.
Are you a gift wrap person or a gift bag person?
Yes.
We had 156 votes.
Okay.
They were split 50-50.
Come on, really?
On the nose.
Come on.
Seriously.
So I'll tell you again what I said yesterday. I'm a gift wrap person.
Yes.
It is so much more satisfying to open a wrapped gift.
Totally.
It's not even close.
Not even close.
The experience of pulling something out of a bag is just, it's like you went shopping and you came home and you pulled it out of the bag you bought it in. It's not great.
It's not great.
But wrapping gifts and opening that wrapper, so great. But I will use a gift bag to give to other people 97% of the time.
Listen, I tried.
It's very selfish.
I tried to wrap, and like I said, it was a disaster. I didn't have any tape. I had to use orange duct tape, and even that was running out, so there was the cardboard stuck to the tape, like at the end of the roll.
Yeah.
And the wrapping paper was cheap, so it ripped. The corners were puffy.
Oh, man.
You gotta hate puffy corners.
I hate puffy corners.
Yeah.
And yesterday, we had a texter that said puffy corners is playing at the pageant next month.
I'm gonna buy tickets to puffy corners. But yeah, it's just a thing. I get it, and I wish I had any domestic skills, but I am sorely lacking in domesticity, and so I cannot wrap gifts very well. I think it is to the great dismay of Mason Jar, who is very handy and can fix anything and build anything. He's very logical. Things make sense to him. So he couldn't make a puffy corner if he tried. You know what I mean? It's just
yeah.
It's just sharp and clean and flat on that corner, and I just have puffy corners. I don't know how to fix it.
Puffy corners. Why do we talk so much about monkeys today? A texter says that baboons are apes because they have no tails. So you were wondering if a baboon is a monkey or what. That's what this texter says.
Do they have blue bottoms or pink bottoms?
Come on, man. I don't know.
I always forget what color their face and their bottom is.
Face is blue.
Bottoms are pink.
Yeah.
That's a little offensive.
They have blue faces?
Yes.
Yeah.
Haven't you ever seen a baboon before?
A blue face baboon?
I thought they were like pink face.
That's their bottom.
Okay. All right.
You're standing at the wrong end.
Why
are they always standing on their heads then? I'm thinking of a different monkey. Or a different primate.
Yeah, they're not monkeys. They're primates.
That's Amy Marks Kors. I'm Chris Ranji. Man, we need to hear from you. On our Odyssey app, we have a voice message feature, which you should be using right now. Leave us a message whenever you want. Amy Marks Kors, Chris Ranji, KMOX.
Figgy pudding! No, figgy pudding.